In a new season that we're in, we have talked about it's a season of power and prosperity. We talked about how the enemy moves us out of God's hedge of protection. And so we lose things. We know that God is preparing his church, not only for his return, but for battle. Amen. The trumpets have already sounded, men and women of God. We're already in the first phase of battle. And there's a continuing phase. One of the battles right now, hallelujah, I gotta go. One of the battles right now is in control. Who's in control? Now, we know that the Lord sits back. He moves on the prayers of his people. Right now, there's a battle of control in this country. We know that elections will be coming up again. And I'm not here to talk about politics. But everything in the spirit realm is associated with something in the natural realm that manifests. Amen. And there is so much fight and so much slander and so much disgusting stuff that you've never seen before that it's coming to the surface. Nothing but lies and deception and swaying. The president that we have right now came into election because of the prayers of the people. And in this election, there has to be more prayers of the people to put the man of God in office. Because there's either the will of man or the will of God. And one of the things that we always want to focus on is the will of God. And discern the will of man. Which the will of man is nothing but associated with demonic activity. Even though it may look good. It may even feel good. It may even taste good. But is it of God? Right now God is not only preparing his people for battle, because everything in God's kingdom, before a blessing came, there was a battle. In fact, when he sent his soldiers out, they went out and fought, and then they took the spoil. So they're in the battle. Of course, there's no spoil unless there's victory. Amen? So you and I are in a battle right now. It's a spiritual battle. And we've got to begin to win more battles and not lose them. And in your life right now, God is bringing us through and preparing us for the big battle, even though that we have small battles. You and I battle daily. We battle with ourselves. We battle with demonic activity. We battle with the sway of the world. We battle daily. And as you stay in position, you always maintain the victory. So there's an area where you and I must continue to stand, to trust, and also sometimes to wait. God is preparing us, not only and put us in the battle, because he's trying to get us the blessing. I want to share with you about preparation for the blessing today. Would you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11? Everybody wants to be blessed. Don't you want to be blessed? Now, we are blessed, aren't we? We are blessed just to know the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says truth sets you free. Oh, hallelujah. You know, there are people who are free but not pure. Amen? So God is preparing. There's a preparation for the blessing. And there's a purifying in this also. Because every blessing from the Lord is pure. So you and I are going through a pruning stage, a battle stage, a preparation stage. Because though you may be free, you may not be pure. And God is trying to purify His church right now. He's trying to remove a lot of self out, and that's still a big struggle. A lot of the worldly ways. He's still preparing us. But in this preparation, why is He doing this? So that you can receive your inheritance, which is a part of your blessing. Is everybody with me? In Deuteronomy chapter 11, in verse 13, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Good. I'm working on it. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 13. Would you read it with me? And it shall be that if you what? Earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Then I will give you the rain for your land in its season. The early rain and the what? Latter rain. That you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. Now check this out. While we are worshiping today, I began to see this country offer up worship. I'm telling you right now that what protects this country is the worship that goes up to the throne room of God. This is the most, through the whole world, this country has the most worship that goes up to the Lord at the same time on a Sunday. I began to just step back and I saw the United States. Then I began to see the whole globe, and it was like out of the United States there was just a praise of worship going to the throne room of God. Everybody worshiping on a Sunday morning and just praise. And now there's some services that start at 8, and there's certain areas of difference of time. But I'm telling you, there's praise and worship going up almost all day long on a Sunday to the Lord. That's what protects this country. Hallelujah. That's why we get the early and latter rain. But then there's an area where there's an individual blessing. And he says, I will, in verse 15, and I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be what? Filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. You know, self is another god. Hello? Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and He shut up the heavens so that there be no rain. So when you begin to serve self, the heavens shut up. And the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Now I want you to know that we are coming into a season of prosperity and power. That means we're coming into a new land. Because the Bible tells us that when we go into a land of milk and honey, that means blessings. So in this area where we are going into a new land and a new level, God is preparing His people. In verse 18 He says, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And bind them as a sign on your hand, that they shall be a frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. If you're ever going to a Jewish house, you'll see a little scroll that's on the doorpost. This is what's in there. Hallelujah. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out those nations before you. In other words, your enemies. And you will dispose greater and mightier nations than yourselves. In other words, you will have victory over things that you thought you couldn't have victory over. Every place on which your sole of your foot treads shall be yours. In other words, every place you step, the kingdom of God will be manifested. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river and the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. Say that with me. No man will be able to stand against me. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon the land which you tread, just as he has said to you. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today and go after other gods which you have not known. So we see here something very important in this preparation, that obedience brings the blessing. So everybody got it? Obedience brings the blessing. He's saying, listen, you can't be serving other gods. You can't be serving yourself. That's another God. In other words, you can't do your will. You must do the will of the Father. That's what brings the blessing. Everybody with me? Well, what's the opposite of blessing? Curse. Blesses the man who trusts in the Lord and curses the man who trusts in man. And self. Amen? Go to James chapter 4. Now we know that he's not just talking about 10 commandments. Because for me and you, the law has already been put in our heart. We already know the 10 commandments. But now it's beyond the 10 commandments. Because even Jesus said that your righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the scribes. Hello? In James chapter 4. So he's talking about obeying his voice. In verse 7, so we know that obedience brings what? Blessing. In other words, there is a preparation to receive the blessing. Now you got to remember again, first it starts off with the battle, doesn't it? Amen. When you win the battle and victory, you receive the blessing. If you lose the battle, you miss the blessing. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 7, read it with me. Therefore what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. See, now this makes the scripture a little bit more alive, because now you know that what the Lord has said, listen, I'm trying to bless your socks off. Hello? Amen? I'm trying to bless your socks off, but you're not listening or fulfilling what I'm asking you to do. And I'm going to show you something very powerful. Because some people only receive partial blessing and not full. He said, submit to God and what? Resist the devil. Hello. And he'll flee from you. Why? Because the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy, isn't he? And what's he out to steal, kill, and destroy? Your blessing. Okay, let's go further. He says what? Draw near to God and he will what? Draw near to you. Now listen, it means when you listen to God and you do it something, then he does something. He says, draw near to me, then I'll draw near to you. You do this, and I'll do that. And I'll never forget when the Lord said to me, and I didn't even know it was the Lord. I thought it was my own voice because I didn't know God. when I said, I need help. And he said to me, do you want to get off of drugs and alcohol? You do want a new life. And I realized that getting off the drugs and alcohol, I tried for years and I couldn't. Finally, I made the decision. I said, I want a new life. And he said to me, show me. So I didn't care what. I went into a detox. I didn't care if I washed toilets. I was honest and everything. I began to show the Lord that I wanted a new life. In other words, he said, if you do this, I'll do that. 2 months later, he gave me a visitation. And I was never the same. Never the same. What was he doing? He was preparing me for my blessing. Him. Do you understand that? Everything he's asking you to do is so that you can receive the blessing, because the blessing is supposed to support you. This blessing is, blessings aren't about promotion. Do you know what I'm saying? The blessings are to complement what God has got you doing. Does everybody get that? It's supposed to complement what God has got you doing. See, for the preparation, I mean, hey, there was a battle. I had a battle. I had the battle. I was willing to do whatever it took. I didn't care. It wasn't one day. I was in detox for 7. And then I had the battle when I got out. I had to stay away from people, places, and things. You know, when you're trying to get clean, the devil sends everybody. Now they got free dope. You don't have to pay for nothing. I mean, every girl from your past starts calling, oh, where you been? Away from you. I came into my house after detox and I walked in. I said, man, I don't know. I said, I don't understand this, but you know what? You got to go. I don't understand why. I don't know. For some reason, I have to be righteous. I didn't even know what the word was. I didn't understand. But God was preparing me for his visitation. So the girl finally left, but she kept trying to sneak back all the time. And one day she called me during lunch. She said, listen, I need to come and get my clothes. I said, I'll put them on the front porch. Because I wasn't getting nowhere near nothing. And this is, you know, then all, because now this is after my visitation from the Lord. You do think the devil's going to stop? No way. So, and the Lord says, I don't want you to get near her. I'm thinking, all right, well, what do you want me to do? Next thing I know, I got sick to my stomach. I ran in the bathroom. Man, my gut was killing me. And there's somebody banging on the door. I knew it was her. I go, what do you want me to do? I went to the door and I let her in. I said, there's your clothes. I ran back to the bathroom. Now my gut's killing me. And it's like the Holy Spirit tapping on my shoulder. Hello, guy. Come on, make me a covenant and I'll heal you. I thought, all right, listen. I promise I won't go out there. I'll lock the door. I won't go out there. Please heal me. It was gone. I stayed in that bathroom, twiddled my thumbs, prayed. Till this girl got her stuff and left, because I knew there was only a certain period of time she had to be back at work. Then I received a blessing. Do you understand that? So what God is doing right now, he's preparing us to receive the blessing. I'm telling you, the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He's out to get us out of position in every area of our life. Think about all the goofy things. You knew that. I mean, your greatest battle is when your blessing is about to hit. But you've got, if you don't have victory in that battle, you miss it. Too many people move out of position, the enemy. And you know, what he does is he promotes self. I mean, the first thing he starts telling you, well, you know, you don't really need this. I got something better. It's greener over here. Then you get over there and find out that what was green just turned brown. And once you miss your blessing, it never comes back again. Once you miss something that God is trying to bless you with, it never comes back again. It comes a different way, and it's a different blessing. Okay. So we see here, he says, Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. In other words, you do this and he'll do that. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. You purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves under the sight, in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Submit means obey and resist the devil from stealing your blessing. Draw near to God. Again, you do this, he'll do that. Does everybody understand that? So in the preparation of blessing, he's always going to have you do something. The purpose of the blessing is to complement your growth. It's to complement what God is doing with you. Amen? Now, I don't mean by compliment and say, hey, good job, amen. Hallelujah. Yay. No, that's not what he's meaning. He's meaning to assist you. Has everybody got it? Assist you in your growth. Assist you in what he's preparing you to do. Remember when the disciples were with Jesus, I mean, and those guys had the battle. And after a period of time, what did he do? He sent 72 of them out, something like that. And he said, don't go out with nothing. What was he doing? He said, man, everything is prepared for you. The blessings, everything is there for you. Just go do this. Go in a place that's willing to receive you, you'll be blessed. If you go in a place that's not willing to receive you, walk away. There's another one. Amen? So as they couldn't force, so many people are trying to force the blessing of God. And when that blessing comes, it becomes a curse to them. People force things. They force the hand of God. You force the hand of God, he'll bring it forth. And I'm telling you, what you thought was a blessing will become a curse to you. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Preparation for blessing. How many of y'all want to be blessed? Amen. Well, you are, man. What's the matter with you? Oh, to God be the glory. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Would you read it with me? How many of y'all going to teach it? What you learn, you should teach. You come in this room, this is a teaching ministry. If you don't have a booklet, I'll buy you one. Hello? Paper, don't forget. It's no sense of coming to church and not getting something to take it with you. Amen? Man, you need to go out and teach what you learn. You're not coming here just to get goosebumps. I know that. Amen? How's the world going to know? Hallelujah. Would you read verse 3 with me? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us already. Now, blessed with every spiritual blessing. Everything pertaining to your spiritual walk and calling is that blessing. Everything. Watch, what does he say? He says, just as he chose us in him before foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Oh, hallelujah. Now, every spiritual blessing is also associated with a physical blessing. In other words, a blessing is always waiting for you. A blessing is always waiting for you. What's the blessing for? The purpose is to complement you in your growth. Has everybody got it? To complement you in your growth, to assist you in your growth, to assist you in ministry, to assist you. Everybody has a ministry. Your first office is priest who ministers to the Lord. As you fulfill that, then God teaches you to minister to others. But he prepares you, doesn't he? He just doesn't send you out there and say, go ahead and do this. Man, you cause more damage to the body than you will help. Amen? Remember, every spiritual blessing is associated with a physical blessing. Oh, praise God. In other words, there's always a blessing waiting for you. As you are obedient, God is preparing you to receive the blessing. You do not get blessed and then get prepared. God prepares you to receive the blessing. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So all of these blessings are already floating in heaven waiting for you. And as you get prepared, it's like going one of those machines, you know. You put the money in, you press the button, and poof, there it comes. It's obedience. But there's a preparation. God is not going to bless you with a gazillion dollars if he can't take care of two bugs. Amen? He's going to first prepare you and teach you how to handle what he's going to give you. If you're not faithful with a little, you don't get more. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I know we believe sometimes that we're ready. I'm ready. Okay, where is it? Come on, let it come. We're all looking up at heaven waiting for the stuff to come down. Where is it? I'm ready. Yes, I deserve it. Now I've fought this battle. Yeah. Well, you know, there may be two or three battles for you to get that other special blessing. But he's assisted you in those battles. See, he wants to know as you're going through the battle where you're going to use what you learned already. Okay, let's test him. Well, he didn't get that raise. Let's see what he does. He's not trusting me. Self. Uh-oh. Well, let's bring him through another one. Well, let's bring him through another one. Oh, he's all pooped out. Man, he's on his face crying and worshiping. Somebody go get him up. Come on, let's bless him. Now we bless him, but not with the blessing that he had prepared. Does everybody understand? He blesses you to get back up on your feet, to go through it again, to prepare you for the blessing that he originally had for you. But see, the blessing that he originally had for you can't come now. He's got to give you something else. I don't know if I can explain this in English. So I'm just going to pray in the Spirit and everybody interpret it, okay? Something that is from God, that is holy and prepared before time, is specifically waiting for you and everyone's life. Remember, you're the inheritance of the Lord. You don't think he wants to bless his inheritance? You betcha. But there's something specific. Did you ever buy something out of time? It's like, man, you know, now it doesn't fit with like clothes. Sometimes we buy kids clothes so that they can grow into them. You know, but if we were to put them on right now, they'd only last 2 days sometimes, you know, because they're growing so fast, depending on what's what. But, you know, sometimes we buy things out of time for a purpose, and sometimes by mistake. And the blessing from God is always associated with time. And if you miss that time, that blessing is no good then. Does everybody understand that? So when you get, he's got to pull something new now. He pulls something because he's new. He's life. And in me and you, in this walk that we walk, every day is brand new life. Yesterday's gone. You can't go back yesterday. You can't change nothing from yesterday. Today is brand new life. And in there's new life, there's new blessing. That's called in God's time. So we receive the specific blessing that God has for us in a specific time. It's brand new, like fresh out of the oven, you know? You know, you smell some baked goods, it comes fresh out of the oven, and it's like, ooh. You know, and then it hangs around for a few days and it's like, man, it's no good. It's just like the manna. They had to eat it every single day. If they held on to it, it rotted. They couldn't eat it the day after. It was that day that was the blessing from the Lord every day. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Where did I say to go now? Okay, verse 4. Would you read it with me? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Right? Casting down what? Arguments or lies and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, everybody read this with me. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. This scripture is powerful because he says, man, you don't have authority unless your obedience is fulfilled. When your obedience is fulfilled, you have the authority. So he's saying, Lincoln, you can't punish nothing until your obedience is fulfilled. When it's fulfilled, you have the authority. Is everybody with me? No authority to receive blessing until obedience is fulfilled. You have no authority to receive the blessing. Now sometimes, you know, the Bible tells us that everything is laid on the table, right? For me and you. There's a table set before the presence of the enemy. God has set a table. It says that you and I got to get to it, right? And we're already anointed to get to it. But when you get to it, there's your cup runs over. That's a blessing of the Lord. Your cup running over. Because you don't ever notice when God blesses your socks off, man, you're just overwhelmed. And like, whoa, glory, did you see what he did? You know why? Because you fought and won the victory. And then the blessing comes. You didn't fight and run. You fought and possessed. Has everybody got it? You must fight and possess. The Bible says that the heavenlies are taken by force. You must fight and possess. And how do you fight? Prayer. Prayer. Die. Prayer. Worship. Speaking the word. Don't get moved. Don't make decisions out of bitterness. Don't make decisions out of emotions. Don't make any decisions. Don't do things you don't know what to do. Wait on God. All of these are part of victory. Victory. Don't be moved by money. Boy, that moves most of the people in the body of Christ. Money. So as you're faithful and your obedience is fulfilled, then you have authority to receive the blessing. Is everybody with me? Romans 15. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Preparation for blessing. Hallelujah. Romans 14. Oh no, Romans 15. Is there anything in Romans 15 yet? Cool. In verse 29, would you read it with me? Paul said something very powerful. He says, but I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the what? Fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I want to share something with you. So many people are receiving partial blessing and not their full blessing. How many of y'all want to receive the full blessing? You know why? Because they haven't completed something God has asked them to do. They've only partially completed. And they get a partial blessing. Does everybody understand that? See, because then we've got to go all around. Man, that ain't fair. I can smell that popcorn out here. Sheesh. I got to cast down these thoughts and imaginations. So I can receive my full blessing. I'm eating a whole bag when I'm done with this today. Glory. For those of you who are fasting, cast down those thoughts and imaginations. Okay, everybody in the children's church tomorrow. Yeah. Hallelujah, they're partying in there, praise God. So we know that you can only receive a partial blessing and not your full blessing. Amen? Why? Because you've not completed something God has asked you to do, or you quit three quarters of the way through or halfway. And that fullness of that blessing that was there. Now let me share it with you. When you only get partial blessing, I'm going to tell you something. That blessing will be gone anyways. Because the only thing that it maintains is a full blessing. A partial blessing is only temporary. Come on, are you listening? Speak it with me. A partial blessing is temporary. A full blessing is eternal. In other words, that's going to help be with you all the way till you go home, unless you break covenant. Everybody got it? Unless you break covenant. Because the Bible says if you break covenant, you lose everything. But you get an opportunity to start over. Every treasure that you've laid up in heaven, for everything that you've done, when you break covenant, it's all wiped out. But he says, he's merciful. He gives you another opportunity to begin to build things up again. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Oh, the glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They need an exhaust fan in the kids' church. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 10. Would you read verse 20 with me? I think. Let me see. Oh, 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. So we know that the blessing of the Lord doesn't cause you to stumble. It's not burdensome. Remember, I share with you that it's going to assist your growth. It's there to complement. Amen? It's not there to cause you to stumble. It's not there to be a burden. Look at how many wealthy people that are burdened. You know, they're so afraid of losing what they worked for. That's a burden. Man, I worked hard for that. Bummer. I can't give that up. How many times people can't give up what God is asking them to give up? Remember the rich man? He was boasting that he fasted, he gave tithes, he helped people, did all these things, and the Lord said, good, now sell everything you got. Well, how about half? No, at all. I want it all. And then follow me, and you'll be blessed. I am blessed. See, he was blessed with things of self. Self-blessings. Well, I worked hard for that. I deserve it. Bummer. See, the blessing of the Lord is not burdensome. The blessing of man is. Does everybody understand that? Man, I see so many people come around and say, yeah, the Lord blessed me with this, and I share this all the time. Great, yeah, new car, praise God, I get a $6,000 a month payment. That's not the Lord. Come on. He blessed me with a new house. No, we got to work two jobs. That's not God. God's blessing is never burdensome. And let me tell you something, there's no strings attached. No strings attached. I had a woman one time. She came over and said, I'm blessing you with this Mazda. It was a 2000-something. I said, praise God. And the Lord quickened me. He said, that's not from me. So I said, well, you want me to tell her no? He says, no, I want to teach her a lesson. Because she's been going around doing this. And she's associated with familiar spirits. And she's causing problems in my body. I said, okay, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to take the car. And I want you to not say anything. but I want you to tell her that one day you're going to give it back to her. And that's what I did. He says, and the day you give it back to her, then I want you to tell her the truth. I said, okay. So I took the Mazda. She gave me the keys. She goes, well, I'm still making payments on the car. I said, okay. She said she'd make the payments. Well, but you got to pay for the insurance. Okay. But it wasn't in my name. See, there were strings attached. That wasn't Daddy's blessing. So I said, okay, I was obedient. And it's powerful because, you know, certain things happen and whatever. And I needed another car about a few weeks later. So I said, okay. So the Lord was blessing me. Amen. Even though I didn't know, I knew that the blessing, it wasn't a true blessing from Him, but He was blessing me. Do you understand that? And He was doing it to teach this woman a lesson. Well, come to find out about 8 months down the road, this woman lost everything. She had an inheritance. She blew it on all kinds of stuff. Poor girl was a granola. She was nutty and fruity. And she just wouldn't receive correction. And finally she came to me. She says, you remember when you told me you were going to give me that car back one day? And I said, yes. She says, well, I need a car. I don't have anything. And I'm out working in a salon, this, that, whatever. And I said, okay. So I cleaned it up, fixed it up, filled it with gas and whatever. And I said, why don't you come on by and get it? So somebody came over and dropped her off. And I got to share with her. I said, you know, what you gave me was not from God, even though God arranged it. I said, but that wasn't the true blessing for me. I said, and what He wants you to know is you're associated with familiar spirits and you're causing damage to the body of Christ. And you need to get under a covering, and you need to get somebody, you need to be mentored, because you're out floating about and how you feel and what you think, and you're self-promoting yourself, calling yourself a minister and all of this other stuff, but you're causing harm to the body. In fact, the enemy's using you to steal money from the body. So she took her car. Of course, I never heard from her again. But I'm just sharing with you, God's blessing, there's no strings attached. Amen. There's no strings attached. Is everybody okay? So when somebody comes in, yeah, I'm going to bless you, man. Praise God. Yeah, you just got to, you know. Yeah, we'll split it. That ain't Daddy. Just walk away and say, see ya. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Amen? No sorrow with it. Romans, where did I go? Oh, that was Proverbs 10. Ooh. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Thank you, Master. Is everybody getting this? No strings attached. You do this, and He'll do that. Remember, obedience is the main function of your blessing. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Glory to God. Now look it. He says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Does everybody see it? Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. And lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Now this is powerful. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing. Why? Because when you are born again, there is an inheritance. Your inheritance is associated with the blessings of God. And when you come to Jesus and you give your life to Jesus, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. In that blessing, you have an inheritance. And this inheritance comes your blessings. What's an inheritance for? To help support your growth, your ministry, and everything that God has predestined for you. Amen? Okay. He says, now, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Why? Because he sold it. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. By selling his birthright to inherit the blessing, he lost the blessing. Many sell their birthright for a moment of fleshly pleasure. Come on, think about it. Many sell their birthright for a moment of fleshly pleasure. Once a choice is made, that blessing is gone forever. Has everybody got it? Once that choice is made to sell your birthright for a moment of pleasure, that blessing God had for you is gone forever. Is everybody with me? Okay, now go to Romans 8. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing because I see many people force God's hand into a blessing. I see people get married and force God's hand into a blessing. Hello. And you know what happens? It becomes a curse. I always tell everybody it was lust at first bite. Amen? That's why it's so important to be in fellowship and have counsel in marriage. Amen? Because if it's God, then you want the blessing from the Lord, don't you? Amen? And so it comes from the office of God. People will go from one place to another till they get the blessing. But that's really not a blessing. It's a forced blessing, which is going to turn into a curse. Okay, let's go forward. Where did I say to go? Oh, Romans 8. Glory to God. Is it cold in here? Man, my hands are starting to shake. That's that popcorn I'm trying to fight off. I'm going to win this battle. I know there's a blessing, a big bag waiting for me. Yeah. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Man, if we can't come to church and have fun, there's no sense of coming. Isn't it beautiful to see the children run around in freedom? I mean, you know what? Think about that. I mean, that's powerful, you know? I mean, think about when we were young. You try to do that in church, you get your butt kicked. Then you get thrown out. Amen. You go home and get a beating from mom and dad. What you doing in there? Don't take him to church anymore. Hallelujah. I didn't want to go to that dead church anyways. Oh, hallelujah. I didn't even know what a dead church was. I was brought up in one all my life. Until I hit alive when I go, man, that one's dead and this one's alive. Hallelujah. Changed my life. In Romans 8, verse 28, would you read it with me? For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So we know all things are going to work to the good. Even when you missed that blessing, that's not going to be brought back again. That means God's got another one. Is it the same one? No. It's a brand new one. Blessings are made brand new. Fresh from the oven of God. Amen. What a microwave he has, huh? Praise God. In Romans 8:29, read it with me, next verse. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, when he predestined, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So remember, the blessing of God for you is to assist you in your growth. Amen. In your ministry and in your life. Oh, hallelujah. All things work to the good, and preparation for another blessing is on the way, as long as obedience and repentance are at hand. Amen. So that means you got another battle to fight. For every battle with victory, there's a blessing. Hello. How many of y'all battling? Glory to God. We're going to get a load of blessings, aren't we? Now that you know. Amen. Now that you know, you're not going to run. You're going to fight. And you're going to listen to God. And when you don't know what to do, you're going to wait. Because even waiting is fighting. Amen. Waiting is fighting. You're fighting against yourself now. Mr. Anxiety. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. How many times you go, man, the devil comes up to you and says, aren't you tired of waiting on God? Why don't you just do it? Yeah, I think I will. That's it. I can't take it any longer. Neither can God. Hurry up and die, will you? Psalm 1. Hallelujah. So when you can't take it anymore, either can the Lord, believe me. That's why he's long-suffering and patient. Self, amen. He's the fruit of the Spirit, and he's the Spirit himself. And it's amazing. I always say, Lord, I don't know how you put up with me. Some things I think I hear him say, I don't know either. Hallelujah. Psalm 1:1. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly thoughts. Come on, I want you to write the word thoughts in there. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly thoughts, nor stands in the path of sinners. In other words, he's agreeing with sinners. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, or shoots his mouth off and comes against everything of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Hello, that's that blessing in time, isn't it? Amen. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will what? Hallelujah. This is blessed. That's a blessed person. Because, see, one of the things in blessings, you must know time and season also. You must be willing to wait. You must be willing to die. But the Bible says in verse 4, the ungodly are not so. Why? Because they're anxious. They take ungodly thoughts. They listen to the voice of the stranger and obey it. They're caught up in worldliness instead of godliness. They can't discern the difference of who's speaking. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Remember I told you about that flood coming. We're in it. It's almost ankle deep. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. Shall perish. Psalm 119. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Psalm 119. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Where did you read the first 119 verses with me? No. Hallelujah. That popcorn got to me. Starting at verse 1. Blessed are the what? Undefiled in the way. Come on, read it with me. Who walk in the law of their God. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all Your commandments. I will praise You with the uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgments. I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Now, there was a man that understood the blessing. He understood the blessing of the Lord. He understood the walking with the Lord and not being defiled. He understood of not walking out of God's time. He understood of diligently seeking the Lord with all of his heart. He wasn't seeking the blessing. He was seeking the Lord. The blessings are a compliment. Does everybody understand that? We're not seeking no blessing. I'm not here to get blessed. I am. Amen. I'm here to show Him how much grateful and how much I love Him. Amen? Amen. That, see, when you praise and worship the Lord, you're expressing yourself to Him as thank you. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for who you are. I don't care what my thoughts are. They might be in left field or in Idaho. I don't care what I feel. I don't care if I'm sick. I don't care if You slay me. It's for me and my house. I'm going to serve You and worship You. See, we're not, if you begin to worship God to receive, then you're worshiping Him for the wrong reason. You worship Him for who He is. Why? Because you're already blessed. The Bible says you're already blessed with every spiritual blessing. It's already there for you. It's waiting for you. What God is trying to do is just prepare you to receive them. Amen? How many of y'all want to hear more? Good. Come back Tuesday.